Freedom Podcast. I am your host, Natalie Spaeth, and I am so blessed to have this beautiful queen sitting in front of me, Miss Caitlin Pizzuti, and she is somebody that I would have met back in a mastermind before I was able to be a leader for her in some coaching calls. So I wanted to bring her on the podcast today to do a little bit of a collaboration to dive into what she has to offer, the magic, not only from having a similar story of being really heavily involved in the fitness industry and then shifting into more of a spiritual aspect, but to really just listen to her story and the magic and the wisdom that she gets to bring to you guys today. So before we get started, Kate, I just want you to introduce yourself to the community, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll get rocking and rolling from there.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. A magical introduction. I really appreciate you, fellow Taurus sister. Yes. So like you said, I am a 24-year-old coach. At the moment, I am really delving into all things spirituality and flow and co-creation with the universe. And it is interesting how I think a lot of us start in the health coaching space and then navigate our way here. But embodiment, it all makes sense, right? So that's been the journey for me over the last 2 years, was going from somebody who always felt the calling to serve in some capacity, but really finding this rabbit hole of continuing to go deeper into both my spirituality and then learning how I can take those gifts and those lessons and those understandings and now give them to other people. And it's kind of interesting because it's brought me full circle into realizing the health space and the living consciously and the loving your body. It all starts with the foundation of spirituality and self-love and self-respect, which is really kind of what I tie into my coaching now. So I find that a lot of the same themes still continue to come up. I still teach people how to love themselves, how to love their bodies, and how to, you know, push their way into the version of themselves they want to become, which sometimes can include health and weight loss, but this is sort of my, I would say, mountain that I've climbed, is I've gotten to the top of the hill and now we are fully embodying spiritual life coaching, and that's where I found myself.
Beautiful. And thank you for sharing all that. And I'm curious to know, for a fun question, what was that moment in life that you had that kind of wake up or aha or realization? Or maybe it wasn't just one moment, maybe it was, you know, a duration of time that you went through. What was kind of the foundation that made you start to take the shift from focusing more on maybe the aesthetic surface level of fitness where it comes to like diet, nutrition, and really delve into yourself first and foremost? What was that pivotal moment for you?
Yeah, really, really good question. I think what I found is that for my coaching and the shift that I had there, it all started with the shift, like you said, internally within me first. And it's so interesting because I found that when I was doing more of the like aesthetics, health coaching, and gifting people the exercise plans and the nutrition plans, all of which are still great and still needed in some capacity, I was so focused on the outward validation. I was so focused on the going to the gym for appearance and for looking a certain way and for even like attracting a certain kind of person, opposed to doing so for the inward validation and for the development of discipline and of my own self-love. And so I think when I sort of started to realize I'm not doing this for validation anymore and started shedding those layers of like, I need to stop asking for that from other people and start giving it to myself. And when the validation started coming from me and my soul felt held, I no longer felt like I needed to go to the gym and push and look a certain way. I just wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel connected. And then when that internal shift happened within me, I was like, well, now coaching in that space feels so misaligned because I can no longer resonate. And I no longer want to teach people that it is heavily focused on the outward, because as we both know, it's not.
So beautifully put, so beautifully put. And it is. And that I'm very similar aspect to my journey. Had some pretty extensive experience that came up where I was also in the fitness aspect of thinking, you know, how can I look a certain way? How can I appease? And that not only, again, going back to the quote that one of our teachers had said to us over and over again, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. It was more that mental capacity of, why am I doing this for what somebody else appears like to me as? And why do I care why somebody would care how I look? And why am I trying to, you know, create a body or create a life around the external environment of, like, this is, I always say, the societal, you know, aspect of, why do I care what somebody else thinks about me if I've got, you know, jack shoulders or glutes or whatever it may be? And that's kind of coming into that similar aligned space of realizing, holy shit, I need to do this for myself rather than somebody else, which is beautiful and brings me into, you know, the question of, your coaching is really focused on self-love and play and bringing in more joy in the life. So how does one start to incorporate play into the modern aspects of their routines in societal life? Because you have to think of, you and I live kind of a very beautiful way where we have the privilege to be able to go and do the things when we want to do them. Whereas, let's say we're talking to a woman or a man who works a 9-to-5 job, who maybe even has a family. How would they incorporate more play and joy into their societal routine life?
Yes. Oh, such a good question. I like that we're talking day-to-day routine instead of like blips of things. And before I dive into that, I just want to say I resonate with everything that you said so, so very much. So thank you for tying all of that together and just expressing the need for all of our purposes to release the validation and find it within ourselves. So when it comes to joy and pleasure and starting to embody that day to day, I used the word coffeegasm before we even started this recording, because I think where it starts is, it's a decision. It's a decision to embody somebody who finds joy in the smallest, most simple of things. Meaning, when you're sitting down to drink your coffee, are you sitting down and chugging your coffee for the caffeine? Or can you sit there and enjoy the flavor and find something that's good and make it better? Because we have pockets of those moments in everyday life with whatever we do. Watching your kids play is another example. You brought up somebody who's maybe in a more traditional, you know, way of living, who has a 9-to-5 and then comes home and has children to take care of. Well, in your own mind, are you wrapped up in the, I have to do this, I have to, you know, feed my kids and do X, Y, Z? Can you change the narrative and now find those ways to experience true joy and pleasure in getting to feed your kids and getting to cook a meal for your family and getting to watch them play? And so I think it's a really internalized decision is where it starts. But something else that stood out to me from your question was the powerful point of, like, yes, you and I sort of live this, what we could say is like a privileged lifestyle, because we have the freedom and the ability to do things and maybe find those pockets of joy more than somebody who is in a more traditional way of living. But I would sort of harshly argue that we've created this privilege, mm-hmm. that we have 100% navigated ourselves into the situation where we have created this life. And so that's sort of what I teach people to do now, is it doesn't mean quit your job tomorrow. It doesn't mean, you know, you need to put your kids in daycare and never see them again, but it means sit with the question, where have I created a box of misery that I feel stuck in? Because the boxes, again, are just what we create, and you can remove the box whenever you want. And so sometimes that means wall by wall of this box, we need to start knocking them down so we can eventually maneuver our way out of it. But it's not about, some people are born into privilege, some people have been dealt the better cards. It's about, how can you create that in your own life? And it starts with the pockets of peace and the joy that you get every single day.
I love that. And I love how you bring in the box analogy. And something I want to speak into that just kind of resonated with me there was, you know, people go on social media, and the moment you start to go into the personal development community, you tend to get bombarded with, you know, things like quit your 9-to-5 and change your life completely. And if you go and you see somebody doing that, you tend to look inward and say, oh, I don't have that, or I don't have the capability to do that. So now I'm kind of in a negative thought spiral. Now I'm in a negative emotional aspect of why can't I have what they have? Or other people will take it to the other route and they'll completely explode the box. And then they might kind of go into what you and I would consider a dark night of the soul and realize, holy shit, where you don't have to live life that way. Every single person is going to have their own, you know, way about them and how they're going to maneuver through their life, where exactly like you said, you can take one wall, maybe one corner, maybe one cobweb out at a time. Where what's funny is I'm the type of person, because again, as we spoke, my Taurus soul sister, I'm a triple bull. So blowing up boxes is kind of what I do and have always done in my entire life. So not to say that you don't have to just take it wall by wall, you can blow it up, but understand that within that blowing up, you're going to be faced and confronted with a mirror that might bring you through a mass life dark night of the soul, which is going to kind of lead me into, we'll dive into that aspect. That was going to kind of come at the end, but I want to dive into, you know, spirituality and soul and God and these bigger topic conversations. You have been posting a lot about having, you know, channeled messages coming through and how you can help service somebody one-to-one, you know, to see what is it that they might be going through, what might be their next step, how they can dive deeper within themselves. So I'd love to know, if you could speak on what is it to you, or like, what is spirit? We'll say it from this. What is spirit to you, and how have you learned to come into relationship with spirit?
Wow. That's a powerful question. Yeah. I think what I'll start by saying is that I grew up in a Catholic / Christian upbringing, and what I have come into learning as I've like come into these gifts of becoming like a clear channel and being able to harness and communicate source energy, which we all have the gift to do, but I'll get to that in a second. Something that I came into the realization over this last like year or maybe 2 years is that just because you're taught, or maybe you've seen God described as this all-powerful, sort of fear-mongering being that's this man in the white coat, if you never resonated to that or the church, which is a big part of my message now, like coming out of this church hurt and what I consider sort of like being a misinformed child who wasn't allowed to or granted the privilege to explore other religions, the realm of spirituality, other options. If you never resonated to that version of God, I want you to rest assured in knowing that there is one. It's just not him, right? So what I found, or the way that I came into, as your question asked, the connection with spirit, was first I had to shed all of the constructed layers. So I had to ask the question of like, what wasn't resonating? It wasn't that I didn't believe there was something guiding me. It wasn't that I didn't believe there was some sort of greater power or greater force that was interwoven into our universe, but it was that the teachings of the church specifically is what I wasn't resonating with. So I had to separate and isolate the two. Like, God is not the church. The church is not God. And when I came home to the truth that there is a source consciousness, that there is a universal source, a God, a whatever you want to call it, guiding all of us, truthfully, it sounds so simple and minuscule, but I found it through meditation, because that's the essence of just being with ourselves, and ourselves are extensions of source. And I think like, as I started to sit with myself more and to get curious about my own mind, and I stopped fearing my thoughts and started just actually being with them, I started to feel that connection again. And it's a feeling that's like, unfortunately, indescribable in language. I think we can't really talk about it besides, you know, with the words that I'm using right now. It's just something that you feel, and it's this feeling of full body support and being held and being able to surrender. And that is the essence that started creeping in slowly but surely as I started integrating the practice of meditation, which is comparable to prayer. And so I think, like, what I always say is all of us universally, we're all onto something. We all know that there is some sort of essence. We're all just calling it different things. And so when I speak into faith and redeveloping it in your own way, the ask and the invitation is always find the modalities that resonate to you, that make you feel most connected. And that connectedness is the aligned feeling. It's the, yes, I am, you know, in the essence of what I'm meant to be doing. I am sitting here now doing what I'm meant to do, embodying what I'm meant to be. And slowly but surely, you will find your version of God, source, universe.
There's so much I could unpack in that. Thank you. That's beautiful. I love the way that you say that. And what I want the listeners to understand is that it is going to be so unique to the self, to you. And there is not a, like you said, one way, one size, one shoe. You know, when it, you can look at, I saw this post a while back where, like, atheists call it the placebo effect, you know, Christians call it prayer, witches call it spells. Like, we're all, it is every religion is all some different flavor of the same thing. And you said another thing about being with, you know, being with when you're in your meditation. And again, I tell people this doesn't just have to be in meditation, because I know that there are people who, like myself, when I first started, had a stiff arm to meditation. I'm like, I can't sit still because I was in that squirrel-like brain. Well, little did I realize that Mama Bear needed meditation more in her life then. But you could be driving down the road and just having a place of being able to observe the mind. And then you said, be with what comes up, be with what is. And the more that you allow the space to be with what is, soon it will kind of dissipate into that greater space to have that deeper connection. And you said it perfectly, the English language does not do the feeling justice, because also what I've realized is the feeling is also different for everybody. So when we try to go and we describe it, it's going to be different, again, with a similar flavor for every single person. And then the other aspect you said was surrender, which is a really big thing, is can we look at our, you know, moments of life, the problems, the illusions that we have, like we're floating in a life raft in the ocean and there's holes all over the life raft and we're trying to plug all of these holes and there, and the water keeps coming in. And that's kind of how a lot of people live their life, is they're just constantly trying to plug these fictitious problems. I'm going to put that in quotations. When can you just allow yourself to lay back and float and surrender and let the lifeboat sink? And can you float and surrender? Ooh, goosebumps, we speak in truth now. Can we float and surrender in the ocean? And just the ocean is your life. And I just wanted to double click on all of that, because that was so beautifully said.
So, I have to reverberate back, if you don't mind. Yeah, before you jump into the next question, the way that you described meditation sparked something in me that I was chatting with a client about this, and she kept bringing up, like, well, every time I sit in meditation, I feel like I can't surrender. And my thoughts, you know, I'm trying to control my thoughts. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's your problem right there, is you don't need to try to control anything during meditation. And I feel like so many of us are like, it doesn't work for me because I can't shut them off and my mind's running rampant. And it's like, you're supposed to allow that, because that's where you marry your, you know, the essence of source into what's going on in your reality. You learn to not fear your thoughts, but to be with them. And so what you said resonated so much and is so important around, find whatever meditation means to you. That could be walking, that could be driving, that could be finding your pocket of where you can just be with whatever emotions are sitting within you, and you're fully releasing control. It's not about trying to be the puppeteer or the master manipulator of, I need to get rid of these thoughts and be this like clear portal and just feel all the joy and feel, no, like sometimes my meditations are the roughest part of my day, but coming out of that is so beautiful. And the surrender analogy just gave me full body chills, because I've heard it described before as like, you're in a river and you're trying to, you know, fight against the current. And then eventually you realize that's exhausting and you just need to flow with the current, like release control, let go, surrender, and let it take you to the end of the river where you're supposed to be. But I love the life raft because sometimes, like, we have to look at it like that. Like, we're trying to save ourselves, but save ourselves from what? Our own misery? Like, let yourself just sink, let yourself flow. So I love that. Just full body yes.
Oh, I'm vibing. I'm vibing with this conversation. This is amazing. This is amazing. I'm looking at my question. I'm like, we go in so many directions here. And I'm like, ah. So when we, you know, thinking about being in, you know, a state of flow, because what you help people with is getting into that state of flow. So yes, we can, you know, sit and meditate for 5, 15, 20, a half hour, an hour. And then what? What does flow, because that is definitely something we're seeing on the mainstream as well, coming out to play, like, oh, get in flow, become aligned. What is being in flow? And how, because the mind is a beautiful mechanism, always coming from the past, which is something I plug in here. How does somebody find flow? Or we could come in at it as how did you find flow? And what does that look like being in flow? How does somebody know they're in it? It's kind of wild.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. I think for me, I'll start with like how I found it. And then it ties perfectly into how I teach it because we're all the first vessel of the experience and the first testimonial, right?
Yep.
Well, for me, I think that there were years and years and years, you know, my story. I was in a relationship for a really, really long time prior to my current relationship. And the first signal to me that I was highly intuitive was knowing it was time to leave that relationship, but I ignored it for probably a year and a half or 2 years. And when you're in a battle with your own intuition, you really do start to distract yourself and lose sight of what those indicators look like to you, what those intuitive nudges look like to you. And that was my reality for a really long time. And so after finally acknowledging that piece of my reality and honoring that intuition and leaving that relationship, it was like I had this full awakening to what that looked like for me and how intuition showed up for me. And I made a pact with myself that day forward, like we're listening, like we are fully in tune listening at any given point in time now. Even if it's the most painful decision, we're honoring the intuition that shows up because I saw where that decision led me. I saw the beauty that came after all of that pain because I honored that flow and where I was being pushed. And during that fighting process, just for like perspective, I was sort of like really pissed at God. I was like, why me? Why did you put me through like having this really long relationship, thinking I was going to be this person, thinking I was going to have this life, and then choosing me to be the one who walks away from that? You know, so much confusion, so much frustration. But really, it let me come home to my own intuition. And I think that is the first step to the flow process is radical honesty, which, let's full circle this for a moment, was the conversation you and I had right after that relationship ended. And she was like, sister, it's time to get radically honest with yourself. And that has stuck in my brain and been interwoven into all of my coaching. So thank you, Natalie. Queen mentor here. So beautiful. I just like had that memory and I was like, wow, this is a deja vu moment. But yeah, so the essence of being able to come home to your intuition and honoring whatever it is in this moment that you know, if you're like, if I had to guess, what is my next step? I love that practice because you know, like your body knows, you have the answers, we're just ignoring. And it's the conditioning of our minds and of our brains and the conditioning of fear. And when you start to just remove that for a second, let yourself know you're safe and just answer the question with your body. That is the beginning of the flow process. So that's sort of the first step that revealed itself to me through just honoring the first step of my intuition. Then after that, I realized, okay, there's a process to this. There are these nudges that show up. There are these ways that our intuition shows up. I like to call them our indicators. It's like, A, your body is always communicating to you. So through gut feelings, through heart beatings, through your brain, through tinglings, what are the sensations that are showing up for you that are leading you to one place or another? What are those physical sensations? But then I also like to look at what is the external environment showing you as well. So we know there are all these signs, signals, synchronicities that are showing up at any given point in time. The universe is constantly speaking to us through other people, through opportunities, through whatever. But if you're not awake to that, you miss it because we're closed off and we're not paying attention. So what I always teach people are the three steps to flow. The first one is, you need to be awake, you need to be aware, and you need to verbally state and mean it that you are open to receiving the signs to your next step. And this could be a really painful, long process because we're like in this human experience, be like, we want to take action. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take my next step. But if you don't yet have clarity on what that looks like, and it doesn't need to be crystal clear, but just enough of a nudge to where you know where you need to walk, then you're not taking aligned action. So what you're doing is you're training yourself now to be in that incubation space and receive the information, receive the signs, receive the signals. And when you feel like you have that indication of where you need to go, step two is take the aligned action. Now you've listened, you've got your signs. Maybe it's the next job opportunity. Maybe it's leaving that relationship. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's starting the podcast. Well, now you're going to start taking the aligned action steps to move the needle in whatever that area of your life is. And then the third step is surrender. Now you've done it, you've listened, you've taken the action. Now what do most humans do? They're like, oh my God, well, what if I went this way? I should have gone that way. They're like looking backward when the path is right in front of you. And so the third step is trusting and knowing and surrendering to the universe in full body knowingness that even if that step wasn't to your final destination, it's still progress and it's still pushing you forward. And even if the desired outcome isn't what comes out of that step, it's the outcome you needed to move the needle forward in your life. And that's the simplest way to put it. That's flow, baby.
Yes, that was snaps to that shit. That is flow. And like to really understand, I love that you use the body because again, it's my Body Freedom Podcast. Listening to our body and understanding, like, we all know what it feels like to have the pit in the gut, to have, you know, the anxiety when you wake up in the morning. And whether you're driving down the road and something happens in front of you, you're going to have a visceral response in the body. And so when you're looking to understand intuition, and I've tried to study intuition, which is funny because the biggest teacher is going to be my own intuition, my own understanding. And I will tell you that, yes, when you don't listen to your intuition, like the universe can give you what you are subconsciously asking for. Exactly. Scratch the head. You're kind of like, shit, where are we going with this one? But ultimately, the body is what keeps the score. The body is going to talk to you. And are you going to slow down enough to be able to listen to what he or she has to say? And we know the pings in the gut. We know what it feels like when you have an idea or all of a sudden something comes into your awareness and it might be uncomfortable. You know, intuition is not always fucking rainbows and butterflies and like, oh my gosh, I saw the butterfly and I saw the synchronistical number and that person texted me when I thought about them. Yes, that's all magic and beautiful. But what happens when you have this thought and it might seem like a big life change and you're like, oh shit, that something is speaking to me here. And it might not be always right off the bat, you need to leave that relationship. But is there pieces of communication where you haven't been being radically honest with yourself in that relationship? And then being able to create those experiences inside of whatever it is that needs to move the needle. Because something that I've really been sitting with, because again, we are creatures and we are programmed to be always in a state of do, 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 go, 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 is to understand that the universe will always give you what's meant for you and will always take away what's not meant for you. And there's nothing you can do to fuck it up. So even though we think in our heads, like, oh, I'm gonna try to tackle this, I'm gonna try to tackle that, I'm gonna try to maneuver all these different aspects of my life, it doesn't matter, baby. You can literally sit back, okay, and understand that when that mind comes into play, all of the questioning, and it's the intrusive thoughts, the what should I do, how do I do this, all of that
doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because what is meant for you will be, and what's not will be removed. And when you can trust in that, then life is going to be in that flow state. And it is the radical honesty that most people have a really hard time coming to grips with, because once we start to, once we stop vacuuming in on ourselves and we start to realize that everything that is outside of us in our external environment is just a reflection of us, everything, even the guy flicking you off on the highway, even when you stub your toe, even when, you know, there's somebody you see at the grocery store that's taking like 50 years in the self-checkout lane, all of it is a reflection of you. And that's it. And when you can notice that and you can understand that everything external is a mirror for the deeper and internal work for myself, where did I get triggered? What pissed me off? What made me happy? What brought me joy? What brought me peace? What was I doing in those moments? And having the big aspect of reflection and contemplation, then you're really able to understand that life moves through us. We just have to be able to get out of the way. And when life can move through, same aspect as flow, we can start listening and say, oh, I have this idea. I want to go on this whatever trip, or, oh, I really think it would be cool to start a course or a podcast, or maybe I want to join that club in my community, or maybe I want to create my own community. And that's the piece of it, of coming together. So if there's anything you want to rip off of that before my next question.
Yeah, so many thoughts. This is like my favorite topic in the world, because you're so right. And everything you're saying is just, these are the, it's the strengthening of the intuition. It is a muscle. Like, you have to practice it. And I think like all of what you were just saying is like, you're going to need to learn to practice this in every single day life for life to move through you. And I'll just share, if anybody ever is looking to dive deeper into like understanding the universe and like the basics of quantum physics, get the book, A Happy Pocket Full of Money. I'm rereading this bad boy now for the third time. And it's not just about money. It is about creating wealth, but it's about so much more than that. And what he says in this is like, be so effing grateful for the present moment, because what Natalie just said, everything is a mirror, but it's a mirror for your past thoughts, behaviors, and beliefs. So you literally get the gift of looking outward and analyzing and sort of examining like, okay, what has my past thoughts, behaviors, and experiences concocted as my beliefs that I now get to look outside of myself and collect the information so that I can change, so that my future reality is a completely different mirror. Like, if you're working on changing those beliefs, changing those thoughts, materializing more wealth, materializing more love, having different relationships, well, 6 months to a year from now, when your reality looks entirely different, that is going to be the mirrored reflection of that version of yourself, right? And so we get this gift of, that's part of the flow process too, like continuing to examine our present with so much love, no judgment, so much gratitude for what we have, but with a full recognition of, this is the byproduct of my past thoughts. And now I get the gift of getting to adjust them and change them. And so your intuition mastery comes in when you start to analyze this and you get those pings and you get those pulls. And like Natalie's talking about, you learn your body and the way that that shows up for you. And you start moving in pursuit of your highest self. And so long as you're doing that, just like she says, you can let go of the rest. Like, humans are so cute and funny to me. We're like, we think we have control over all these things. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to control. Like, no, baby. That's God. Leave it to God. All you have to do is just move towards what feels good, because that's where God's pushing you, and you don't have to worry about the rest, because I'm telling you, we get control over one thing in this life, and it is how we act and where we move, and that is it.
Queen. I'm like, all right, mic drop. Bye, guys. That's it for the day. No,
that's the whole episode.
That is gold. That is pure freaking gold. And it's the truth. And as Kate and I are talking to everybody, it doesn't mean that we don't still struggle. It doesn't mean that we don't wake up one day not feeling the energy and we're like, meh, what the fuck is wrong? And then we fall back into our own mechanism, which I've talked about the mechanism on my podcast many times, which is what I consider our homeostasis, which is like the core patterning and story that is going to be there, because the hardest part about being a human being just being a human being and understanding when you can have the full awareness of like, oh, there she is. There she is again. Hey girl, what's up? I see you. Okay. What do you need right now? Or can I allow myself to cry? Can I allow myself to do a rage practice? Can I allow myself to be in my animalistic self so that I can move this dense energy to then be able to go out maybe the next day, have a little bit better energy or feel a little bit better? And it might not be a day. It might be a week. Okay. It might be fuck. It might be a month. But the thing is that when you start to allow yourself to flow with the energetics of the body, and understand that when you want to move towards that love, you want to move towards that joy, beautiful. And let's not disassociate from the reality in which we're experiencing, because I've been seeing, you know, I feel like I've been seeing that for years. We had like the toxic kind of positivity aspect of like, oh, it's, you know, my vibes need to be good. I can't talk to you. Well, you can't talk to that person because they're triggering you. And that's a wound on yourself, not that. So when we separate this, it's a full circle. It's not just one or the other. It's understanding that you can be exactly where your 2 feet are. And when you can let go in all aspects of whatever human emotional compass you're experiencing for the day, and you can surrender to it and say, today I might just be fucking sad. Is it okay to be sad? Is it okay to be a little crunchy today? I want to put a sweatshirt on. I don't want to fucking wear makeup. Okay. I know. I heard that word a long time ago. I'm like, I'm using that shit. But is that okay to be me? And then they're going to, especially my ladies, we have a lot of unprocessed rage. We have a lot of unprocessed anger. And to have permission and a space within yourself, maybe everybody leaves the house and you want to go and fucking roar like a lioness queen, go roar. And it's very uncomfortable at first, I promise you. Very uncomfortable. There was one time, and I just got to say this, I haven't said, I don't know why this is coming up for me right now. But I was in my bathroom and I'm like, I'm gonna roar. And I was angry at life. It was like, I was pissed at my husband. My kid wasn't listening. My job wasn't going the way I wanted it to. Everything was starting to just frustrate me. And I said, all right, we're gonna roar. We're just gonna roar like a lion. And the sounds that came out of my body, something popped in, like, as I'm like mid roar, something in my system actually popped. So when we talk about the body and we talk about these repressed emotions, that pop all of a sudden released. And I was like, holy shit, a physical, I don't know, again, describing what it feels like is not easy, but the sensation was a newfound sense of like peace, like bliss. It didn't switch to fucking happiness, because I think happiness is a joke. I think that it's just a part of being human, but it shifted. And then I allowed myself the permission to be that. And that was rage that was sitting in years of not being able to speak truth, of feeling suppressed, feeling repressed. But again, we now live in 2023. Let's be honest. We have so many platforms that we can speak our mind. We just have to get through the fear. So looking at all of it and bridging it all back together, let yourself be okay where your 2 feet are in whatever it may be that you're experiencing. And it comes down to the surrender, to being able to be okay who you are, where you are, when you are that. And then to understand that the more you allow yourself to be, the more you're able then to lay into this beautiful intuition and flow and alignment with your life. And that might not be just because you're aligned today means that 6 months from now, your entire reality might shift. I mean, speaking with Kate on the last time we actually probably spoke face to face, when I did talk to you about radical honesty, you were on one path and it was this confusing space. And I could see this battle internally happening with you. And I'm like, queen, it's like written on the wall. That's a gift that I have, that I can kind of take every, I can see people's experiences and I can kind of bridge out and blow them up into an aspect of, let's look at the entirety of the picture, and it's going to create suffering. That's why they call me the queen of transformation, because I kind of embrace the dark, because I've been to the dark. I go, fuck the dark. And I mean, I'm wearing black today, if you guys are listening to some podcast, but I'm wearing black today. The darkness and I are friends. Because it's about both and the polarity, which I know that you have talked in your coaching practices about going in and doing that shadow work and being able to hold space for people to be in the entirety of their experience. And so I know we could riff into that, and I want to be mindful of your time as well. There is
I'll get to my next question first, but do you want to speak to some of that shadow aspect and what that has either looked like for you or some past clients and what that is in your ecosystem?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. So much there too, in terms of you bringing up the pillar of expression, which is a really big one in shadow work and in healing in general. I love that you brought up the lion's roar and like opening the throat chakra and like letting the energy that's coming from all of the rage, the anger, that full spectrum of emotion, like releasing. And I like how you explained it like an energetic pop, because that's what happens. That's like the clear channel sort of comparison that I make, is like when you have blockages in any of these energetic centers in any of the chakras, you're not a clear channel for source to speak to you. You're not a clear channel to receive. And it's a beautiful way to describe it. And so expression being a really gigantic topic of my coaching as well, in terms of like the feminine embodiment and like, how can you release these stored and trapped emotions, which is heavily part of the shadows. So yeah, really quickly, just diving into what that looks like. I mean, shadow integration and shadow work is learning that our ego has served us for a really long time to protect us. And then sort of like dark night of the soul conversation is recognizing like, okay, the ego and all that it's done for me, like I really appreciate it for being there, but like now I need to kind of distance from what the ego has built up and step into the soul self and like feel safe to do that. And so it is an integration process. I think like shadow work in like pop culture spirituality gets confused with like, you need to shed the ego and you need to like completely disregard your shadows. And no, like we need to look at our shadows and love them for what they are and then bring them back into our souls. So I'll just give an example of what that's looked like for me. One of my deepest shadows that's even coming up currently, I'm home with family for the summer away from my normal Tampa St. Pete area. So not only am I back in the space where like me and my ex built our life together and like, you know, I grew up here, old friendships, old energy. I was the caterpillar. Now I'm coming back as the butterfly, like weird experiences, but all beautiful because it's bringing things up that need to be addressed. Some of the shadows that are presenting themselves are like this still existing internalized need to be understood. So, which is hand in hand with the validation. And so as I'm here, as this version of me who's built such a beautiful community in St. Pete, people who love me, who understand me, who see me, who admire what I'm doing, but like in the most healthy manner, I'm now here in a space where really nobody sees me. Nobody really gets what I do, and nobody really understands the essence of like what this work does or why it's important. And it's almost like I feel like I'm in a foreign country. Like it's a different culture here because people live life differently here. And it's a testament to, you know, where you live and your environment matters. But it was a really big indicator for me, like, hey, this is a very unhealed aspect of that seeking validation and the opportunity for me to give the understanding to myself. Because at the end of the day, no one else needs to understand me but me. And with that deep-rooted understanding for myself, other people, ironically, then start to understand you. Isn't it funny? Mm. So that's how I describe shadow work. Like, we recognize these shadows. It is crucial to acknowledge them. It is crucial to see that they're there, not judge them. But then whatever that shadow is, what you're seeking from others, whether it's validation or it's love or it's XYZ, give that to yourself. Take the shadow home into your soul. Know that it was, you know, exiled for a reason. And now you can bring it here. And embody the essence of whatever it is that you are seeking. And then the rest kind of comes into it. The rest comes full circle. And that's really the essence of shadow work.
I love that. And thank you for sharing your own personal experience to that too, because, you know, speaking on shadow and your personal experience of validation, which any single person listening to this, we all have it. Okay. We all seek validation at some point in time, or we're constantly seeking validation. Which is, you know, you needing to be understood is kind of like a sliver off of that
validation piece, which my soul bowl system. I know that feeling. Oh my God, do I know that feeling? I still, you guys, and this is me because, again, as I talked about earlier, blowing up my boxes and being the queen of transformation darkness, I still live in my societal construct in small town, in the cold, in the north, where people look at me like, what is this chick? Okay. And it's so wild to me that we still think what we are fighting, okay, is other people. And when we look at understanding that every single person, okay, has a lot of the same shit we do. It's got different flavors, okay? We all have core wounding, okay? Core wounding to me is we're either not enough, we're unworthy, or we're too much. And let me say, some of us can check all three boxes. Some of us might not, okay? Well, I come into a place and a space where I've always been labeled as too much. So let me dim my light. And then coming in saying, oh, maybe I should wear this, or maybe I should wear that, or maybe I should do this, or maybe I should do that, because it's going to appease somebody else. And understanding that in that need to be approved of or understood or validated, all I'm seeking is the fact that I myself am not looking directly in the mirror. I have a mirror over here, so if you see me pointing over here, looking at myself directly in the mirror, I am the only one who can ever validate me. And then when you, just like you said, I think of it as it's a universal law. And I always talk about it's completely upside down. We always think it's outside of ourselves. No, it's inside of ourselves. When you go and do that work, then you start to realize, I just wish I could be fucking understood. Why does nobody understand me? The world fucking sucks. Everybody can go suck it. And then we cry and we eat the bowls of ice cream. We do all the things. And then we realize, holy shit, do I understand what I'm doing? Yes. Do I love me for what I am doing? Yes. Do I feel like I'm being of service to the greater collective? Yes. Actually, I just need to validate my fucking self. Great. And then all of a sudden, boop, boop, validation starts happening, or people start understanding you all around you. And you're like, would you look at that? Would you look at that? And I know I'm making it sound like it's so simple. And I promise you guys, there are times that it is not. There are times that the darkness and the shadow come into play, but we all have it. And it is always like there. And when you can notice like, oh, I'm, you know, getting ready to go out to, I know you do the festivals and I love you for it. I always look at your adorable freaking outfits. There's going to be a day I get myself to one, but maybe there's this aspect where you might be partying at a festival and then all of a sudden you're like checking somebody out or you're looking at somebody else and then you're comparing yourself. That's another aspect. Comparison is huge, but again, you're just comparing the other version of you, which is beautiful. So I just want to thank you for riffing on shadow, because there's so many people that try to avoid and they're like, I'm just gonna live in love and light. And that's all that there is. And let's just ex-nay fear, because fear is nothing, which at the end of the day, your fear is your greatest gift. And when you can alchemize the fear, then you turn into the powerhouse and realize that that becomes your biggest light. So going and facing directly you and yourself in that polarized way is what's going to give you that magnetism to be able to live the life of freedom, which is going to bring me in. I've got two more questions for you before I let you go, because there's one thing I wanted to bring in here. You talk about when somebody hears channeling, okay? We're going to kind of go back into the middle of the conversation. When somebody hears like, I am an open channel, I want you to give me your perspective and then maybe give like an example of what does that mean when you talk about being a channel?
Yeah, 100%. Well, first things first, I think that we need to recognize that we're all channeling source energy all the time. It is not this obscure, unique gift to only some people, but I think some people learn how to harness or maybe have the specific gift of harnessing it in a very intense, very well-articulated way. Some people can channel, you know, light codes, and some people can channel all of these different things. Some people can channel from ancestors. But we can all channel source energy all the time. We're doing it on a daily basis. You're probably doing it right now. It's the internal inspirations that are coming to the table that are often inexplicable. It is your intuition. It is these signs that are showing up. And so really channeling and receiving these downloads is maybe when you're in those moments, when you're on a walk and you're just experiencing the beauty around you. It typically happens when you're in a state of just being, like you're not trying to control anything. You're not, again, meditation. You're not trying to, you know, you know, manipulate your emotions. You're just being, and you're just in a peace or homeostatic state. You'll start receiving, it's almost like these whispers of answers to questions that you've had, or ideas that need to come to the surface. Or maybe, you know, you whip out your phone and you start typing down a note around this, like, you know, energetic thing that's come through for you. And it doesn't have to be labeled this distinct, you know, oh, all of the words came to me and this like magical, I blacked out. And then all of a sudden this was down on my paper, which can happen, but it doesn't have to look like that. It can look like the daily little elements of inspiration that you get, and that is still source speaking through you. So I think that's the first element of how I like to, you know, bring up channeling and what that looks like. And then just like mastering your intuition, you can master this ability to channel source energy. And so for me, this comes through meditation and sometimes sitting with a microdose, you know, the ability to allow yourself to do the work and analyze the blockages that are existing here and then remove them. And once you're removed with the blockages that were existing within you, once you've scraped the gunk out, then all of these messages start to come through and you can start to learn the way that that feels for you, harness it, and sort of like welcome source energy or welcome your spirit guides, whatever that sounds like to you, and let them speak through you. So there will be times for me, I'll come out of a meditation and I immediately whip out my phone and it's like a 4-minute little rant session goes on because this message just came through and needed to be said. Some of the words feel like my own and some of them don't, because it's an energy that's taken over me. So that is the essence of channeling. It is a practice. It is a skill any of us can master, but we're all channeling source energy all the time. That's how I like to describe it.
I love that. I would say even in this conversation, you and I just riffing together could be bringing in and channeling. And that's yes. Something that I think is so, why don't we learn this shit when we're children?
We need a different school system.
I know. Oh, queen, don't get me going. We're getting there. God help us next year. God only knows. Oh. Anyways, because I could go into a whole nother boatload of conversation when it comes to that. But to that point, yes. And when you're, and I don't know if you're anything like me, I send so many voice notes. I'm a voice note queen. And there will be times that somebody is, I'll be like coaching through voice note and I don't even know half the shit that I said. And it's just because I'm so connected. I'm in the moment. And then all of a sudden somebody comes back like, holy fuck, you just changed my life through a voice note, Natalie. And I'm like, great. I think it was God, but I appreciate it.
Well, that's what you did for me. Like thinking back to that video call that we had last year, there were such specific things that you said that it was source speaking directly to me through you, because that's why we need to use our voices always, because it comes out in a way that's like, wow, that was a ping that changed. It was a pivotal point for me. And it was just words coming out of you. It might not have meant, you know, much of anything, but to me, it was everything. And also recognizing you for 15 minutes ago, where you were like, oh yeah, the tingles, there it is. This is like coming through now. Channel, like direct channel for whatever that message was, and you just letting it out and feeling that sensation of like, wow, full clarity on the message here.
Absolutely. Again, thank you. And I just love you so much for being able to just receive that when we had that call and just to listen to it, you know. And that's what you said, is it is within our voice. It is, going into my little witchiness, it's July and I'm already like, when is it Halloween? When is it October? Like I'm ready for the fall. Crazy. I'm always like three seasons or two, at least a season ahead, 3 months ahead. But looking at, you know, understanding the being able to speak your truth is huge, and being able to share your voice and not caring really what comes out of it. You know, there are times I will be riffing on something and my brain will stop and I'll be like, ah, shit. But I'm not going to judge myself for it, where a lot of the times my old self would have been uncomfortable. I'd have been like, oh my God, I just need to know what it is I'm going to say. The moment you try to know is the moment you cut yourself off, because we are never going to know if we are completely, oh, see, goosies again. There we go. Bliss bumps. When we start to cut ourselves off, that's when we're not going to know. When we realize we never will know, and we always are living in the unknown, even though we're these human beings that like to kind of choke everything out,
we then start to open ourselves up to that. So thank you for sharing the channeling, because I know there's a lot of people that are getting into it. And I myself am just curious about it. Like, I swear to God, I watch something on Gaia every day about channeling. I'm like, tell me more. But to your point, the vibration, the goosebumps, okay? It ain't just because you're cold, okay? That's one of the big things that people don't understand is, yeah, anytime I see bliss bombs or have goosebumps, I'm like, truth. Truth is spoken. And weird.
Bliss bumps. I've never heard that before. We call it soul confirmation. Like, soul confirmation that, like, what was just said is a full source yes. And so it's like, give you the tingles. Same thing with, like, deja vu. I think deja vu is just a confirmation of timelines. Like, this was what was supposed to happen to get you onto your highest timeline. So let that just be your confirmation. Like, this has happened before.
I'm feeling this. I'm vibing hard when you say that. I love everybody's, like, perspective and what they learn about different things when it comes to this. Give me all of it. This is my jam. Yes. So, Kate, before I let you go, I have one last question. This is the Mind Body Freedom podcast. I want to know what freedom means to you.
Oh my goodness. Channeling. Let's identify and just define freedom for me as this ability to flow and co-create what I came and incarnated here to do with the universe. That is my definition of freedom, because my belief is that when we kind of marry into this flow and we allow ourselves to just let go of, you know, poking holes in the life raft, we let go of trying to swim against the tide and we just flow, not only do we end up exactly where we need to be for ourselves, but by honoring that path and, you know, probably hitting obstacles along the way, collecting the lessons, collecting the shadows, doing the work, when we get to the end of the river, which I don't know if we ever do in this lifetime, but on our journey to the end of the river, we become the fullest expression of our souls. And when we do that, we change ourselves and everybody around us. And when we do that, that is how the ripple effect changes the collective and we create this new earth. And so to me, that's freedom. That is what the ultimate definition of an expression of freedom looks like, is knowing that I don't have to have control. Everything that is meant for me is going to come to me simply by allowing and simply by walking that path. And that feels so freeing.
Snaps. Snaps to all of that. Thank you. And Kate, this has been amazing. And to your, you know, aspect of flow is freedom, is kind of like, if I wrapped all of that up in one, flow is freedom is flow. Ironically, not ironically, synchronistically, which is might be a word I made up, synchronistically. My nickname when I worked for an oil company was Flow. So they used to call me Flow. So I created into freedom, love, oneness, everybody. And it's like a chant that I have. Freedom, love, oneness, everybody is what flow is to me. So I want to just say thank you so much for the riff. And if there is anything, if there's just one magical thing that you can share, what is it that, you know, your heart is calling to you, the last bit that you want to say to the listeners here to take away, to take the end of the closure of this beautiful conversation?
Oh, thank you so much, Natalie. That felt like literally a virtual hug, like just absorbing all of that. I'm so appreciative that you let me come on here and just share my heart. My last message to anybody listening is please, please, please trust yourself and begin to restore your faith. It is easy to say that you have it. It is another thing to actually embody it, but it starts with an inner trust with yourself. Start developing that, and you can do that as simply as wake up to your goddamn alarm at the time that you set it. That is how you're going to start developing the trust with yourself. But you have the power. You have it. I love everything about you, Natalie. Thank you for having me here. And just the last thing I'll say is, if anybody does want to connect, want to collaborate, want to ask questions, Find me over at your.dreamlifecoach on Instagram. That's where I hang out most of the time. I'm not the type of coach who will ever turn you away from my DMs. Come in, ask questions, ask a million of them. And I also will be having Natalie on my podcast, the Your Dream Life Coach podcast. So you can find a sort of spin-off episode of this over there where we'll be talking about her life and her experiences and going deeper into other topics. So yes. Super
exciting. Hey, and one last thing before you go, is there any offerings that you have right now that are available to any of the listeners, either upcoming or existing?
Yes, thank you so much for asking that. Yeah, so I currently have two spots available for my one-on-one coaching, and that looks like one of two things. That looks like either you want the life and spirituality coaching, you want to learn this co-creation process with the universe, or that looks like new coaches coming into the space. If you have a heart-led business, if you're like wanting to share your mission and wanting to really like hone in on the essence of how to start gifting that to the world, I also help with upcoming business and coach owners. So we're going to be doing those two spots for the next few months. They fill up relatively quick because it's a 3 to 6 month program. So I've got that offer. And then the other thing I currently have open is my Unblock Your Blessings course. And this is for my friends who resonated with the shadow work section. We go through a lot of shadow work, inner child healing. And I take you on a whole journey of removing your blockages so that you can unblock yourself from your blessings. And then we'll navigate into the manifestation and into the calling of things in and into flowing. So it really just depends on if you want the one-on-one support or the group support, but you can find me at either of those two places right now and other exciting things to come.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much, my love. Cannot wait to be back. You guys, I hope you really enjoyed this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please run over to Kate's page. Start following her. Give her stuff a like. Get onto her podcast. Give it a listen. If you enjoyed or got any bits of this, please share below. Again, if you want more from me, it's at I Am Natalie Spaeth, Facebook Natalie Spaeth. And if you want to join a private group, it's called The Warrior Co. Until next time, guys, as above, so below. Let your freedom roll. Love you.